Last week we spoke upon the subject of true service to the Lord. I'll do the same thing tonight, true service to the Lord number two, I guess. Last week we looked at John chapter 12, verse 26, where Christ spoke specifically upon the subject of service to the Lord. He twice used the phrase, "If any man serve me," and then he also used the words, "my servant." And in that verse, he gives a lesson in what it is to serve the Lord. We see he speaks of the rule of service, summed up in those two words, "follow me, follow me." And those two words, of course, pretty much sum up service to the Lord. They're inclusive of many things that are all vitally necessary in serving the Lord. We saw last week that to follow Him means that you have a proper view of Christ, proper knowledge of Christ. Again, he asked the question, "Whom do ye say that I am?" There has to be an attraction to Christ if we're going to follow Him or if we're going to serve Him. And of course, our view of Christ should feed that attraction, a desire toward Christ. And again, our view of Christ determines our desire of Christ. We see also that there's self-denial. Christ must be priority, must have our attention, must have our focus. To follow Him, it implies a closeness to Him, and in all true service, we never serve afar off from Christ. We only serve as we're close to Him. To follow Him means that we have to leave something else. That is, there's a separation unto Christ. We follow Him because we believe Him. And again, there is no service without belief. To follow Him is to obey Him. And one does not serve in disobedience. We can only serve in obedience. It involves a commitment to Him. It involves an imitation of Him, a conformity to Him. All these things are vitally necessary if we're going to truly serve the Lord. He then went on and spoke of the honor of serving the Lord. He used two phrases to express that honor. He says, "And where I am, there shall also my servant be. And then the second phrase was, "Him will my Father honor." Serving the Lord is never a step backward. It's always a step forward. It's never a demotion. It's always an ascending. It's the highest, it's the most wonderful life that you and I can live on this earth. It's also the most enjoyable life that you can have upon this earth. It's the most peaceable life, and it is the safest life that one can possibly live. So he gives us this lesson in what is involved in service. And we want to go over to John 17. We read this last week along with John 12, but never got here. But in John 17, let's read the first 5 verses. These words spake Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven, so he's praying, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So the entire 17th chapter of John, Christ is praying. And it is an immensely deep prayer filled with wonderful truths concerning God the Father, concerning Jesus Christ, concerning the people of God, concerning salvation. So it is a prayer in which God, in which Jesus Christ unveils God's purpose in salvation. It is a prayer that unveils Christ's work in that purpose. It is a prayer that unveils what God has provided for us in Jesus Christ and our position in Christ. The subject matter of the prayer is not service to the Lord, but in the prayer, Christ does unveil some attributes of his service to the Lord, his mindset toward service to the Father. And that's what we want to consider this evening, is Christ's attitude, Christ's mindset toward service to the Lord. We all know that Jesus Christ came as the perfect servant of the Father. The perfect servant of the Father. There was never one second in which he was not serving and serving perfectly. In Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 4, God the Father says concerning Christ, Behold my servant. Behold my servant. And you can follow Christ all through the Gospels. Behold my servant. He would go on to say in Isaiah 42, he shall not fail. He shall not fail. That is, in his service, he shall not fail. And he goes on to say, nor be discouraged. We all fail in our service to the Lord. And we all become discouraged in service to the Lord. Behold my servant. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged. We hear Jesus say in Luke 22, verse 27, I am among you as he that serveth. And in John 6, verse 38, he said, I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. We read in Philippians 2, in verse 7, concerning Christ, that he took upon him the form of a servant. What that means is that he stooped. He was equal with God, yet he took upon him the form of a servant. And as all things, Christ is the perfect example. And He is the perfect example when it comes to serving God. In fact, looking at Jesus Christ, we get a picture of what it means to truly serve the Lord. He epitomizes a servant of God. He embodies a servant of God. He illustrates what it is to be a servant of God. He demonstrates what it is to be a true servant of God. We hear Paul say in Philippians 2 verse 5 in connection in the context of service, let this mind, referring to Jesus Christ, let this mind be, present tense, always, in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Those very words reveal that true service to God involves a mindset. It involves a correct mindset. It involves the mindset of Jesus Christ. In order to be a true servant of Christ, we need to let this mind be in us, the mind of Christ. So let's look tonight at how Christ viewed His life, how He viewed service to the Lord. First of all, He viewed His life as a work committed to Him by God the Father. Notice verse 4 of John 17. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. I have finished Thee. Something very specific. The work. A very specific work. I have finished the work. I have finished the labor, the service, the assignment, the duty, the task, which Thou gavest me to do. So He viewed His life as a God-given work. How do we view our life? Do we view our life as a task, as a labor that God has given us to do? How do we view our life? Why are we here? Why has God left us here all this time? You see, what is our purpose? What do we see as our purpose in life? How do we see our purpose in life? Do we merely see our life in the context of our family position? Might be a father, a grandfather, a mother, a grandmother, aunt, uncle. On and on it goes. Is that our purpose in life? What is our purpose? Or do we view our life as our occupational position? People have different occupations. It can be many things. But is that our purpose? Is that our God-given purpose in life? Do we just merely view our life as whatever in the context of our family position or in the context of our occupational position? And when it comes to our family position, when it comes to occupation, those are major portions of our life. There's no doubt about that. But those things are to be viewed in the context of the real reason that we're here. And the real reason we're here is to serve God. So, yes, one may be a father, but they're to serve God in that capacity. It may be a grandfather, they're to serve God in that. It may be a mother or a grandmother, they're to serve God in that capacity. Service to the Lord is our main occupation. And Christ viewed his life as a work that was committed to him. Did God just put me here to raise two children? Well, if that was the case, he would have took me out when that was done. That wasn't my purpose, my only purpose. And we could go on and on. But as children of God, and there's no exceptions, we have a God-committed work. And our family and our occupational position are under the umbrella of service to the Lord. That's first. We're to be the best father, the best parent, the best grandparent that we can possibly be. The best worker in whatever your occupation that you can possibly be. And the reason is because we're servants of God. Everything falls under that umbrella of service to the Lord. And that's why people have it all wrong when they'll make a statement, well, when I retire, I'll be able to devote more time to serving the Lord. You've missed the whole point. You're to serve God in whatever occupation you had or raising your children. You're to serve God in that position. Those things don't have to cease in order to serve the Lord. Notice in verse 18, as thou hast sent me. Notice also verse 25, the last four words, thou hast sent me. Christ spoke of being sent of God the Father. So it is with us. We've been sent here. We've been placed here. We also see that he viewed his life as the Father's business. God sent me. And he sent me here to do his business. That's true of all of us that are saved. The first recorded words of Jesus, I didn't say the first words, the first recorded words of Jesus Christ were spoken to Mary, his mother, and Joseph. And he said, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? So how did he view his life? He viewed his life as doing the Father's business. Again, we may raise children. We have an occupational position. That's all part of the Father's business. The Lord's business. So we need to view our life as our purpose is to be about our Father's business. Right before he entered his public ministry, he said in John 4, verse 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. My whole purpose, he says, is to do the will of him that sent me. That's true of each one of us that are saved. Our entire purpose is to be to do the will of him who saved us, to do his will. Wherever we live, whatever our occupational position, however our family changes, we are here to do the will of him that saved our souls. That's how we're to view our life. The work which Christ was given and sent to do was specified, was prescribed. It was a very definite and necessary work. So how do we view our life? What do we see as the purpose of our life? I've had conversation with many through the years who, once their children are grown and moved out of home, that doesn't happen too often anymore where children leave home. They keep coming back and parents keep wanting them to come back. That's another message. That's messed up. But our society is filled with that. But the children leave the home and say, I have no more purpose. Really. What you have just stated is that I have never realized my real purpose in life. Because your real purpose in life was not to raise your children. Yes, it was part of your purpose, involved in serving the Lord. You've moved on to another chapter. And now again, I must be about my Father's business who sent me. New chapter, but same purpose. Serving the Lord. So how we view our life greatly shapes our life. If we view our life, I'm here to serve God, that greatly shapes our life. That greatly shapes how you raise your children. That greatly shapes what jobs you will take and what jobs you will not take. Because I'm here to do my Father's business. And if I can't do God's will in this job, then that's not the job for me. But you see, people get things all backwards. And that, again, it goes back to they don't really fully realize why they're here. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Secondly, he viewed his life, and it corresponds to what we just said, not much difference, has a work to do. Has a work to do. Notice verse 4 again. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Not to observe. Not to think about. Thou gavest me a work to do. Not just to speculate about. Thou hast given me a work to do. Those two words, to do, speak of a requirement. Speaks of a requirement. Speaks of a stipulation. And the Lord has given us something to do. He requires something of us. He's given us a stipulation. So we must realize that our life has a God requirement. We're not here just to have a good time. Our life has a God stipulation. He's given us a work to do. To do. That speaks of an action. Something that we're to carry out. It speaks of a task to be carried out. And we're to view our life as an activity to be performed, something to be carried out for the Lord. Again, we go from our life is like a tale that is told. Has many different chapters. It involves many different places. But this does not change. God has given us a work to do. God has committed something to us. The phrase to do speaks, of course, of energy. You may reach a point in your life you can't expend as much energy as you once did. God knows we're but dust. He knows all of that. But we still have something to do. To do speaks of a behavior. Our life is a work to do. And again, how we view our life greatly shapes the direction of our life. You know why? There's many reasons, but why God's people so often get off track, I mean way off track, is because they forget why they're here, which is to serve God. Thirdly, he knew that he had what was necessary to do the work. God the Father committed a work to him. God the Father gave him a specific work to do. And then notice verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that states a purpose, that he should give eternal life. Whatever work we're called to do in the service of God, we have what is necessary to do the work. Whatever it is. Whatever chapter we move unto in our life and whatever God calls us to do in that chapter, he gives us the grace, he gives us the ability to do the work. But here's the problem. It seems to be ingrained in human nature. People want to do what they're not qualified to do. People want to do, and God hasn't given them the ability to do. Well, I want to do that. But God didn't give you the ability to do that. But whatever it is God would have you to do, he's given you the means to do. So we that are saved, God has called us all to serve him. And then he gives us what's necessary to serve him. People will make this statement. Well, I'm quitting my job and going into full-time service. Shouldn't we always serve him full-time? That's our main purpose. We've already stated, whatever else we do, it's to be under that umbrella of serving God. You mean to tell me that someone saved by the grace of God is only to serve the Lord part-time? No, they serve him all the time. You don't have to quit your job to serve God. You serve the Lord on your job. And then God gives us the ability to serve. Fourthly, he viewed the work of the Lord as a specific work. Again, verse 2, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. He had a very definite work to do. And it's always good to know, what is the definite work that God has given me to do? You say, well, I'm not sure. Well, you need to be sure. You need to talk to God. You don't need to talk to anyone else about it. What do you think the Lord would have me to do? You talk to God. And God gives you a specific work. Someone says, there's nothing for me to do. That's just not so. That's not so. God gives us a very definite work to do. Notice that he should give eternal life to as many as thou given him. As thou hast given him. That describes this work is within the bounds of God's will. Well, Christ came to save everyone. No, he didn't. came to save those whom the Father gave him. It was within the bounds of God's will. And all service must be within the bounds of God's will. Once you overstep the bounds of God's will, you're no longer serving Him. You're serving yourself. But you're not serving Him. So it's within the bounds of God's will. In other words, we're not left to decide what is to be done. God has already told us that. And we're to serve within His bounds. Fifthly, Christ was obedient to the work. Notice two words. I have. Verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. Verse 6, I have manifested thy name. Verse 8, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. Verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. I have. What's he saying? He's saying, I have been obedient. I have done what you've told me to do. Oh, that we could all say that. Verse 14, I have given them thy word. Verse 18, so have I, which is the same thing as I have. Verse 22, I have given them. We see it again in verse 25 and again in verse 26. He was obedient. And he was obedient within the bounds of God's will. Because if it's not within the bounds of God's will, it's disobedience. True service to God requires that we be obedient to the Lord. A true servant of the Lord is not one who's always looking for loopholes to get around something. Christ's main concern in doing the work, verse 1, his first request in this prayer is glorify the Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. That's the motivation. That's the motivation to do what God's told us to do. To glorify God. That's the passion. To glorify God. It is not true service. It's not true obedience. Unless we do it for the right reason. It has to be the right thing, done the right way, for the right reason. And the right reason is not to get people to think more highly of us. The right reason is not because I enjoy doing this. If you only do the things that you enjoy doing, that's about you then, isn't it? It's not about serving. But the right reason is that it might glorify Him. That's the reason. That was the supreme object and ambition of his life. I want to glorify the Lord. Again, we move from chapter to chapter in our lives. The scenery changes. The weather changes. But this should be the constant. I want to glorify God. Maybe in a season of our lives that we would not have personally chosen. Yeah, I want to do that. I want to move there or whatever. Maybe somewhere where we'd rather not be. But in that place, you glorify God. That's what a servant does. That's true service to the Lord. Each time we hear Christ say, I have, did he not do it for the glory of God? I have, and everything he did for the glory of the Lord. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Seventhly, Christ sanctified himself. Christ sanctified himself. Verse 19, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself. He uses the word sanctify in its primary meaning. Setting apart for God's use. He said, I set apart myself. And notice the extent or the degree of the setting apart. It's seen in that word, myself. That is, everything that I am, I have set apart for God's service. Everything that I am. Everything he was as God. Everything he was as man, all his powers, and he's omnipotent, all his knowledge, and he's omniscient, all his perfection, all his ability, everything. He says, I've set it all apart for his service, myself, my total self, all that I am. In and of myself, I have set apart. What Jesus is saying is, all that he is, all that he is set apart entirely to God. Everything. That's what it means, I surrender all. What Jesus is saying is, I have dedicated myself entirely. I have consecrated myself entirely. I have set my whole self to the work. I ask you tonight, what did Jesus hold back? Nothing. I sanctify myself. His was a complete surrender, an absolute devoting of himself and all that he was as the Son of God. All his fullness set apart. All his time, all his thoughts set apart. His very life set apart. So you see, the question is not how much time and activity do we set apart for God? That's not the question. It's not the issue. It's not about how much time you set apart. The issue is, have we set apart ourselves for him? People say, pray that I will set apart more time for the Lord. That's not the issue. You set apart yourself for the Lord. And time will take care of itself. And activities. Well, I'm going to give an extra hour. That's not the issue. Set apart yourself. And you may give two more hours. But set apart yourself. Preachers will issue challenges. Set apart a half hour every day, an hour. That's not the issue. Set apart yourself. That's a lot more difficult than setting apart a half hour. Set apart yourself. Because you see, when you set apart yourself, you're willing to do anything. You're available when you set apart yourself. And it is the degree that we set apart ourselves that determines the life that we live for the Lord. Lastly, Christ did not serve separate from the Father. People do a lot of things in the name of service to God that has absolutely nothing to do with service to God. They do a lot of things separate from God and outside of the bounds of God's will. Christ served with a sense of oneness with the Father. Notice verse 21. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. He served with a sense of oneness with God. You can only do that within the bounds of God's will. We do not serve alone. Oh, you may not have a crowd of people serving with you, but a true servant of God doing true service to the Lord never serves alone because they serve with Him. There's a oneness with the Lord. He served with a knowledge of God. We're not to serve ignorantly. We're to know who we're serving. And in verse 25, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And he served in that capacity. He served knowing the Lord. He also served with the realization of the Father's love. Verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Realizing the Lord's love should motivate you to serve the Lord. And the more you love the Lord, the more enjoyment you get out of serving the Lord. So Christ viewed his life as a work that God had committed to him. A work that he was to do. And that's why sometimes you have to tell people they want to put all kinds of demands on your time or whatever, and you just have to say, I can't do that. Because I can't do that and serve God. Well, we would like to hire you, but you'll have to work every Sunday. You shouldn't even have to think about that. No. I won't do it. I won't do it. He viewed his work as a work to do. He knew that he had what was needed to do the work. He was obedient to the work. He views his purpose in life was to glorify God. He sets himself apart for God. Sets himself apart for God. And he views his life as with God. In Matthew chapter 11, let's turn there and we'll be done. Matthew, very familiar passage. Verse 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. My yoke, that's service. Take my service upon you. Learn of me in the context of service. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. It's not rest from the work. It's rest while you're working. It's rest while... This is a different work than any other work. You rest while you're working. You don't take a break in order to get rest. You take His yoke upon you in order to get rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Service the Lord, as we said at the beginning, there's no better life than to serve God. And yet there's this fear amongst God's people that they're going to go too far in the service of the Lord and somehow miss out on something that the world is offering. You have a skewed view of the world and the Lord, if that's your thought process. You're not going to miss out on anything worth having. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord in everything you do. Again, you may be an electrician, you may be an insurance man, you may work at GM, whatever. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. While you're at work, serve the Lord. When you come home to your family, serve the Lord. It comes the Lord's day, serve the Lord. That's why we're here, to serve the Lord. And the sooner God's people get a grasp on that, the happier they'll be. Because there's joy. There's joy in serving the Lord. I have never, and I don't believe I ever will, I've been by the bedside of many, many, many people when they went into eternity. And I have never heard anyone say, "Brother Dan, I wish I wouldn't have spent so much time serving the Lord." I've heard many of them say, "I've wasted a lot of time." But I've never heard anybody have any regrets about serving the Lord. Serve the Lord on your job. If you can't serve the Lord on your job, get a job where you can. But serve the Lord. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us in verse 1.